The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
This is the Crossman Conversation. And as we get things started today, I have a quick story for you. My mother, her name is Cecily Crossman. And for years, my dad had a nickname for her. He would call her Cess. He'd call her Cess on the office and around the house. And as years went by, my mom had more people call her Cess because a lot of people would sort of not quite get Cecily. And so I always had a sensitivity of being aware of that name. And so in the last few years, I've had some people come across my space that have been beautiful, successful women named Cecily. One of them is Cecily Strong from Saturday Night Live. I just think she's so great. I actually connected with her on Twitter or Facebook, and I told her that story, and she commented back, and it was so great to just meet a strong, beautiful Cecily. And the other beautiful, strong Cecily is Cecily Wilson, who's our guest here today.
Hello. I'm so glad that I'm here. Thank you. And it's incidentally, all of my friends call me Cess as well.
Oh, so, really?
Exactly. That's my nickname. So those who really know me that are in my circle, they call me Cess. So there you go.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you have a beautiful name. You're a beautiful person.
Thank you.
And you know, so you're here today, and part of the reason why I want you here today, and let's be a little selfish, is I want some advice. Like,
okay, let's see how that goes. Okay.
So I want to talk to you about a couple of things. And, you know, you have a background in broadcasting and marketing. You know these big concepts. And you're also a survivor. You also, yourself, you're a storyteller. So as I've entered more and more in this space, I get some negative feedback sometimes. And I'll give you an example. It's like sometimes recently had somebody complain. They said, I'm virtue signaling. And you know what's so funny, Cecily? I didn't know what that meant. I had to like look it up, and I was like, "What? I don't know this terminology." Sometimes, you know, that happens, and sometimes people say. I had a guy recently say, "Well, you're so bragging about how you give money to historically black colleges, right?" And so I get it, right? In one sense, I get it. You know, there's a lot to be said for giving anonymously. There's a lot to be said for serving anonymously and doing stuff and not bringing it to intention into it, and that's. You know, we value that as a culture. I think that is an admirable thing, right? And so I'm not trying to diminish. People do that, and I think it's wonderful. My worldview is that I'm trying to get attention to people and subjects that don't get attention, right? In my world, I mean, like, man, if I'm not talking about HBCUs, who is? You know, who's helping get attention to it? So as a person of faith, Cecily, what is the balance of marketing and storytelling without being braggadocious? What do I do?
You know, thank you for that. And it's interesting because I think for you, you are considered a man of influence and you have a wide circle of touch. And so what I admire about you is that you use your platform, you use your influence to do good in the world. And so as you, I am a woman of faith. And I do know that the Word of God says that we are blessed to be a blessing. And that's exactly what you've been able to do. So when I see what you're doing in our community, specifically among HBCUs, I think it's commendable. Here's the reason why. Number one, I am a mother of an HBCU, soon to be graduate of Howard University. That's right. I'm super excited about that. And I attended my first year in college at Clark Atlanta at HBCU, then went on to the University of Georgia. So I literally had the best of both worlds, HBCU experience and a PWI. And for those who don't know, a PWI is a predominantly white institution. And so having that experience was afforded to me. But for those individuals and communities where they don't know where their options are, and for individuals who don't value the power of an HBCU experience, that's where you're able to come in. You value that resource because you're providing opportunities to those individuals who look like me, a brown girl in a community. And now I wasn't, you know, underprivileged, but underprivileged middle class, I guess, if you will,
sure.
But still knowing that education was important and valuable for me. So for you, continue, I would say, to use exactly what it's not like you're throwing it in their faces, right? But you're saying, here's what I'm doing to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And for that, I say thank you. That's important.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I want to get it right. You know, I want to get it right. And it's hard, you know. And I think you know this about me, that my grandfather was black on my mom's side. And so that is part of my story. This is Black History Month. And I always say Black history is part of John Crossman's history. It's part of American history. And so bringing that together. And, you know, I grew up around HBCUs. I grew up around Bethune-Cookman. I knew Bethune-Cookman before I knew any other white schools. And then I went to FSU. I ran the FAMU relays. And so I had that exposure, right? So that's kind of unique. One of the things that you know about, because, you know, I talked about this, was last year I hosted 50 lunches with the dean of the FAMU College of Law. And we did every single week, University Club, downtown Orlando. And then we'd have different business leaders, community leaders, politicians, et cetera, join us. And what was fascinating was at the end of the 50 lunches, the dean and I, Dean Keller and I were talking, 100% of Orlando black leadership knows the importance of FAMU College of Law. They know the difference between FAMU and Bethune-Cookman. They're very different universities, you know, one state, one private, one, you know, religious, one not, you know, and they focus on different things. They're culturally, you know, you've been to the Classic, I've been to Classic. Their fan bases are different. It's not the same. But when you go to White Orlando, I'm White Orlando right now, this year, this time, and you were to say, hey, explain the difference between Bethune-Cookman and FAMU, even in leadership, they don't understand it, right? Yeah. So to me, that attention and that storytelling, we still need to understand that. Is that accurate?
Absolutely accurate. And I think what you're doing is sharing that story. And when you highlight an opportunity, for instance, your lunches, you, again, you're shining the light mm-hmm. on something that is not there, right?
Right.
You're giving them that experience and sharing information that they are not privy to. It's interesting because even though we are here in the heart of Orlando, as you mentioned, there are many that don't even recognize that Bethune-Cookman is 45 minutes away.
Right, right.
It's right here. And it gives so many opportunities for so many individuals. The graduates that are there from the school are going on to do amazing, amazing things. I know one friend of mine who is a fellow news anchor in the Tampa market as a graduate of Bethune-Cookman University. So it takes individuals like you providing an opportunity to share the stories of those. And quite frankly, for you to even bring in other individuals from those universities to share why it's so important for them to give back. We know we have the oh my gosh, she's going to kill me. The Association of, oh my gosh, I'm losing a brain. Providing scholarships for those individuals. It's an
United
organization.
Negro College Fund.
Thank you. Oh my God.
They're we'll delete
say,
that part.
They're going to say, Cecily, your black card is revoked. Your black card is revoked. Yes, the United Negro College Fund. It's so, so, so very important. So when you hear stories from those individuals who say, thank you, because you cared enough to pour into us, and here's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. This has provided an opportunity for me to be great, and I thank you for that. So I think that's exactly what you're doing. And you're not, again, I keep saying that, you're not being braggadocious. You're just sharing what's a part of your culture, but what's so necessary a part of our history in America, quite frankly.
Well, and it's a hard thing, because I know sometimes I make people uncomfortable, and I
that's what leaders do,
right?
Okay. Leaders make people uncomfortable. They can't make everyone happy, right?
We're not pizza.
We're not Burger King.
Yeah, we can't make everybody happy. Well, you know, sometimes it breaks my heart, because I reflect on it, and I'm not trying to make people uncomfortable. Other times I'm very much trying to make people uncomfortable. You know, if they're in power, if they have money and they have influence and things like that, you know, I get agitated, and that's when the Irish part of me comes out in a big way. And so I'm trying to balance this. You know, we're talking about Bethune-Cookman. FAMU College of Law is right in downtown Orlando. It graduates more black lawyers every year than all the other state law schools combined.
But doesn't get the recognition.
Does not get the recognition. And there are lots and lots of lawyers, law firms, legal leaders in downtown Orlando that if you ask them, they'd be like, oh, I'm all about diversity. I'm woke, right? And then if you ask them, well, have you ever written a check or gone to give a less lectured or volunteered mentor a student, they haven't. So
or hired
right.
a graduate from the school.
Right. And that's where we got to work on that. I also just make sure you mention this because I always forget to say this, you know, historically, black colleges are, they're culturally, obviously, it's a cultural thing, but they've always, always, always welcomed students of different colors.
Oh, absolutely.
That's always been a thing. Like Howard, when Howard had his first law school, some of his first graduates were white women because the white women couldn't go to the white male law school.
Absolutely.
But they could go to Howard. So they've always been open and welcome and continue to be in that place.
Yeah. And it's their space of safety, quite frankly, you know, oftentimes because students don't feel welcomed in, you know, universities that don't predominantly have brown individuals, brown or black individuals, this is a place of safety and it feels like home. My niece is attending Brown University. This is her, she's graduating with honors in May, and we're really excited about that. And she chose to attend Brown. She could have gone to Howard just with her cousin, but she chose that school. And this is an opportunity, again, for her to have that experience, but that's a way for you to shine the light on those individuals and those people of influence to say, hey, make a difference. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it. You're not shoving it down their throat, but you're saying, here's what I'm doing. I'd love for you to join the journey with me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. You make me feel better, Cecily. So
I don't know how helpful I am, but I just know that it's important to me, and I know it's important to those children who are really trying to get out of their situations.
That's what we want. It's about helping young people find the right school for them,
absolutely,
where they're at in their journey. That's what I see over and over again. So, Cecily, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to keep asking you for advice on how to make my life better. So thank you. So we'll be back.
Dr. Cess in the house.
That's right. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for remote work but are worried that you don't have the right skills? The Central Florida Urban League offers a Microsoft Office Specialist course that teaches you how to use Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, and Microsoft PowerPoint. With your MOS certification, you will have a major advantage when applying for jobs. For more information and how to enroll, call the Central Florida Urban League at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org/Microsoft_Office_Specialist. Do you have a business idea but don't know where to start? The Central Florida Urban League offers an entrepreneurship and small business certification course that provides you with a toolbox for success. This course covers entrepreneurship, recognizing and evaluating opportunities, planning, starting, and operating a business, marketing and sales, venture capital and seed funding, and financial management. Enroll now. Call the Central Florida Urban League at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
All right, so we're back with my friend Cecily, and like Cecily Strong, and like my mom, Cecily Crossman. Beautiful, talented, smart, you know, I don't know, you could be on Saturday Night Live or writing books like my mom, or both.
Yes.
You could do all those things, Cecily. Well, Cecily, in our first segment, I was asking you for advice to me, and thank you. And I meant that. That was a sincere question, and it is a very interesting thing as, like, people of faith about storytelling, right, and sharing information, and what is that thread the needle versus putting light but not being, you know, over the top or sinful in some, you know, comes kinds of ways. It's one of the reasons why I really like collaboration. It's why I set this up as a conversation and not like an interview, because I need these different feedback. So I have a question for you for this our second segment.
The question is this.
What advice do you have for middle-aged white men when it comes to thinking about issues of race in America? Okay? And let me just unpack that a little bit more in response.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about these topics, I meet a lot of white men who are business people, and they've been successful. They're Christian. They're people of faith. And they're not racist. They're good folks. And also, they're not privileged. Like, their life's been hard, you know? And so I have some of these conversations where they'll say, jeepers, John, like, I want to help. I'm not a bad guy. I want to do good things. I don't want to be yelled at. And so I'm trying to make sure, you know, how do I counsel them? Or how do I counsel them to steer them, right?
Oh,
so my problem is, and honestly, so here's my problem. Sometimes when I'm doing this, some friends of mine will say, like, stop talking about black colleges, John. I get it. I don't want to work with black colleges, right? So what I want to say is to you is, like, what advice, what would you want to say to a group of white men who are believers on how they can help on the subject of race? I could reframe the question and say, what would you want me to say to them? But I'm really trying to get out of your voice, out of a black woman, Christian voice, what would you want them to hear that they could then kind of pull from and say, ah, I got it. This is what I need to be thinking about, praying about doing.
Well, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV. So this is probably just coming from, you know, Cecily's own heart and Cecily's own experience that, and nor am I a, you know, full-blown theologian. So I don't know the Bible the way some that are more familiar. But I do know that as Christians, we are supposed to follow what is written in there. And there are many stories where Jesus walked among those who didn't look like him.
Mm, for sure. For
he
sure.
He didn't.
No, yeah.
He was around, you know, women who, you know, were doing things inappropriately. He was around men who were liars and backstabbers and cheats. But he still said, I'm open to you.
I mean, the faith of Centurion, an invading army, an army from a different country. And the Centurion astonished him with his faith. I mean, to your point.
Exactly.
So I hear you saying, first off, as a person of Christ, have an openness to other believers, right?
It's we make it difficult. Mm-hmm. It's not hard. Life's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we make it a challenge. And if we just open and just be receptive, and you said compassionate, to others who don't look like you, hear them. All we want to know is, do you hear us? Do you see us? Do you even value what we bring to the table? Because quite frankly, we're pretty darn dope. We're pretty darn dope. If you give us an opportunity to show what we can do, and I recently put a post up, you know, for Black History Month, that my blackness isn't an option. You know, it's bold, it's beautiful, it's duplicated oftentimes, underappreciated, and oftentimes very hated. But I say, for those who are Christians, if you're following what the word of Christ says, then he says to love all, be open. Let's just hear, because there's value in each and every one of us. The one thing that's consistent is that we all bleed red, period.
That's right.
It's that simple. I know that it's simple, but it's not.
You know, it's funny you should say that. I gave a lecture at Bethune-Cookman University one time, and they were doing it because I had just endowed a scholarship. And I told the students, I said, this is not about the cross man scholarship. This is about the man on the cross.
Wow.
And doing his work. And I said, you know, if we share the same blood, that makes us family, right? And if a member of our family is hurting, what do we do if a member of our family is hurting?
Come right? to their aid.
Right. And so when we think about, like, I didn't know anything about kidney failure or dialysis until my dad had kidney failure. And then I had this great compassion. And that's actually eventually what took his life. And so when I meet somebody who's on dialysis or has a suffering from that, I have such compassion with it. I didn't know anything about domestic violence until my sister was a victim of domestic violence. And going through that season, having that compassion and really trying to step in that space. And what I really felt when you were saying that is having a feeling of sharing our feelings with that compassion. You know, I will say this, Cecily Wilson, I want to say this back to you. I was lecturing at, I think it was Fuller State, to a group of young black women. It was like a black women's business group, and they were asking me for advice. And I said to these young ladies, I said, let me ask you this. I'm like, Do you think that if we went and found a fraternity, predominantly of young white males here at FSU and their business majors, do you think they desire to be CEOs? And they said, yeah, well, yes, that's probably true. And I said, do you think that CEOs in the future need to understand diversity? And they said, well, that's true. I said, do you think they probably understand diversity? And they were like, well, probably not. And so I said, do you understand diversity? And they said, well, yes. I said, so what you're saying is you have something to offer them. And it was like trying to flip the script of like, you have something to give to them.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I've talked about these beautiful black women doctors who are doctors to my wife. And when I watch them in their nurturing to my wife, in their geniusness to my wife, and I just go, oh, I love them. I love them so much, right? And so that context really is helpful as well.
But being able to offer that, and again, when you're thinking about diversity, I often say this, it isn't about, oh, go find all the black people and do, you know, do something good for them. No, it's about diversity across the board. It's like a beautiful quilt that's intricately put together with all of the different tapestries that come together that create a beautiful piece of art. No matter where it came from, you know, where it's a piece of dirt or maybe it's a little a shabby chic or something, all of that comes together. And that's what the diversity is. Every person, every race, every ethnicity, every gender, all of that comes together. And I just feel like I'm comfortable in that way to be able to have that conversation because of domestic violence I've experienced.
Sure.
Homelessness I've experienced. Divorce I've experienced. Racism I've experienced. My daughter who is gay, I've experienced, and having to deal with that, being a Christian and not knowing how to handle it, thinking, oh my gosh, something's wrong. Let me do, you know, a curse on her or something,
right?
Like, let's get that out of you. But it's just that diversity of it all because she is freaking brilliant. And that's what we're saying.
And she's your daughter.
And she's my baby.
It's so interesting. I had a friend of mine, and he came to me and said, my son just came out as gay. What do I do?
And you we had love this, them.
You
love them.
So that we talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And the conclusion was, love them.
Love
that
them.
That was the end of it, right? Yeah.
I almost lost my daughter because I was pushing her away. And it was a dear friend of mine who said, your daughter is about to leave for college. She needs to know you are her biggest, fiercest advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I realized, I don't want to lose my baby. I love her. And now we have an understanding, not that I accept it, but that I love her. Yeah. And you better not mess with her.
Well, you know, maybe we wrap up with this, you know, this thought. You know, as I mentioned, you know, my grandfather was black and he was light skinned and identified as white. But you look at the pictures now, you're like, you know, he was clearly, we would say now he was black. When I see black women, I visualize to myself like that could be what my great grandmother looked like, right? And I really try to put that in a special place in my heart, you know. And I try to be respectful of that. I don't want to lead with that and try to overstate something.
Yeah.
At the same time, I try to reflect on that. If we start thinking about that with other different ethnic groups and other different, you know, people and different ages and things like that, I just think that's a healthy place to try to think about where can we find compassion, where can we find unity. Look, the devil is going to want to split us.
Look within, because we're all somewhere connected.
Right.
Just look within, and love is easy.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you so much, Cecily Wilson. You're so cool. Thanks for being my friend.
Yes.
Thanks for allowing me to be vulnerable with you and ask you questions, and thanks for being vulnerable with me. And you have so many great stories to tell and share, and I appreciate it. And I know we only got to touch on a little bit, but we'll put information about you and so people can connect with you. And I hope you'll stay in touch. And I want to finish with this. I hope you will always, always, always coach me. I hope that if you ever hear my show in the future and you hear like, well, that's not good. I hope you will love me enough. Just like Mike does, my producer.
Absolutely.
Mike does say, hey, man, that was not good. And I want you to do that for
it's
me.
It's an honor.
Because we're on the same team. So, Cecily Wilson, thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Thanks for having me.
And so thanks for listening to The Crossman Conversation. I'm John Crossman. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.